dad looking at a child and tells him, never trust an atom. They make up everything. I got one more. Let's see. Dads tell kids, here's a cautionary tale. Don't sing in the shower. The kid's like, what? Why not? Because if you get soap in your mouth, it'll become a soap opera. Yeah, amen. Kid looks at dad and says, you know, my arm hurts when I move it like that. You know what a good dad says? Quit moving it like that. Turn in your Bibles, Proverbs 23. I've got 53 more. Amen. I'll save them for later. Amen. I'll post some on Facebook so you guys can repost them. Amen. I seized Brother Bob about it. I told Brother Bob, I said, I think my daughter is thinking about you whenever, because he has some really good dad jokes he puts on Facebook. But then he ruined the whole thing. He said, I just find them and repost them. I thought, oh, man. I thought so. Amen. But I'm sure your son really appreciates that. And Brian is one of those quiet ones, but he also has some good dad jokes. So, amen. Proverbs 23 today, a father's heart. Father's heart. You know, you think about Father's Day, and you know, there's a lot of joking about fathers. One of the things that I really have always been troubled about, and I think it's been done on purpose, but most of the TV shows and all that of the last, I don't know, 20 years or maybe more, have always kind of made the dad out to be the buffoon and the dumb one. And, you know, but 40 years ago, the dad was the wise one. You know, in fact, we had a show, Father Knows Best, you know, and shows like that. And then somewhere along that line, we begin to mock authority. We begin to make fun of it. And I think that harmed us as a society in a lot of ways. I really do. Fatherhood is still a noble cause, and we need Christian fathers today. Much of what is going on in our nation today is because dads have refused to maintain their role of what they should be, should guide their families and lead their families. And I just truly believe that we need to go back to teaching our young men how to be men. We're living in an emasculated society where we want the young men to act like girls. And I got to be honest with you. I don't want the young men of our church to act like girls. I want them to act like men. I want to walk out and see them spit on the sidewalk. You say, amen, that's good for them, amen. They ought to do that. And every once in a while, they just ought to do some things that a man ought to do. And but we live today where, you know, if a boy gets in a fight, they want to make a big deal about it. I remember years ago, they called me and said, your son AJ got in a fight and threw a boy through a fence. What do you think? And I thought, yes! Way to go, son. That little fellow will never pick on him again. Amen. And that's why we've got a rise of bullies today, because everybody wants to cower back. Isn't it about time we fight back on some things? And honestly, you know, isn't it about time that we say, you know what, enough is enough? We see here a father's heart, though. Dad, I guess the question that I have for you is a question I ask myself is this. Can I tell my children, can I tell my grandchildren, can I tell those that I influence, I want you to be the kind of Christian that I am? Because that's really what we ought to live like. We ought to want those that we influence to be the same kind of Christian that we are. Well, you know, that really sets the standard pretty high, doesn't it? Verse number 19 today. I'm so used to looking at the screen. And how many of you remembered the words from the theme song just right off the top of your head? Okay, amen. I was watching. Some of you guys were watermeloning it, and I thought, they don't know the words. So, but I was glad that Brother Steve and I had the screen up there, because we were cheating today. And once we started, I thought, I remember the song. Refocus my heart today. Verse number 19. The Bible says, hear thou, my son, and be wise. Of course, Solomon's writing to his son Rehoboam. And he says, and guide thine heart in the way. And then he begins to give him some directions. He says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. I don't know if we're going to have to change Tim to this one. This is popping here, so change to this one. Let's see if it stops. It's all through the whole system. Okay. That's right. We'll be okay. We believe as Christians that the Bible teaches that God expects men to step up and provide strong, consistent, loving leadership in the church and in their families. But whenever that doesn't happen, it creates a vacuum. And that something or someone's going to fill that vacuum unless we maintain the roles that we have. If the men are not men, then somebody's going to step in and take that role. If the ladies are not ladies, then someone's going to step in and take that role. The best thing that we can ever do is to maintain our God-given roles. And all God's people said, because if not, I'm going to tell you something. Men don't make good women and women don't make good men. We're different. We were created different. It doesn't matter what the world's telling us today. At the bottom of it all, there's only two genders. The rest is all made up and make-believe and fake and phony. And it's destroying our society in many ways. It's destroying our young people's minds. And now they're having to choose. And they're saying, hey, you need to make this choice and that choice. Listen, there's some things that a young person ought not have to decide whether they're male or female. They ought to know that. And I believe this is the ultimate in child abuse for some adult to tell them any different. The Bible tells us, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Children are a gift from God, a precious gift. Sometimes you say, whenever you're dealing with your child, you think, I'd like to put them in a box and put them back. But they're still a gift. Remember, oftentimes our children are a reflection in us, and they just don't have the filters that we have. They're not as good a liar as adults are. Some of the things we see them acting out are characteristics of our own lives. You say, well, what should I do? Well, beat them anyways. But understand that you probably need to deal with some things in your own life and your heart. This is not in the sermon. This is all free today. But I'm seeing a societal shift. And people say, well, I'm just not going to discipline my child. What kind of craziness is that? Listen, if you allow them to talk back to you, to dishonor you, to disobey you, it's going to come a point where you can't have them living in your home anymore. They're going to rule that place. They're going to ruin that place. And in every place they go after that, they're going to ruin it. You know what you're doing? You're training good little citizens. You're training good little Christians. And it starts from a very young age. And they need to know two things. One of the things they need to know is we obey right away. I teach all my grandchildren that. They come over to Papaw's house, and if Papaw says something, he means do it now. I don't want to have to whip them in front of their parents. So what I've decided to do is whenever they start acting up and the parents don't discipline them, I'm going to whip the parents. How many of you think that's a good idea? I just was sitting in my chair the other day, and it was just like an epiphany that came to me. And I thought, you know, I don't want to beat my little grandkids in front of the parents. But if they're not going to do it, maybe I need to whip them instead. And I thought, oh, that'll work. But you know what's going to happen with that? I'm going to be a lonely old man. But children are a gift from God, a precious gift. The Bible says they're the fruit of the womb is His reward. There are certain rewards in having children, grandchildren. Now, I know it doesn't seem like that all the time, but it is. It's wonderful to see that. Children are like arrows, the Bible says. That's how we influence our world, is through our children. You want the next generation to love God? Teach your children how to love God. You want to change society? Let's start in our own homes. Let's make sure that we're living for God. The greatest parenting manual ever written is the Word of God. And all God's people said. But it's one of those things that we kind of walk away from. And I believe one of the most helpful portions in all the Word of God is the book of Proverbs. It's very plain. It's very clear. It makes sense to simple people like me. And I'm grateful for it. But here we see Solomon giving his instruction to his son. We need some men today that will demonstrate to young men and women at least four or five things. And we see all these things that are falling apart in our world. One of the things we need for our young people to learn is just what we call good old-fashioned manners. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Please. Thank you. Excuse me. We need to teach our young men how to treat ladies. A lady ought not to ever open the door if a man is around. Amen? Teach your young men to do that. And by the way, teach our young ladies to stand and wait. Sometimes, I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but most of you ladies are here believe, many times men are just a little bit slower and a little bit more dense. So ladies, you've got to train your man, your future spouse. Amen? Got to train them. You walk up to a door, you just stand there. He's going to look at you like, train him. If you don't, he's going to be kind of trouble later on, amen? Ask Jutana. Teach them how to treat women. Teach our ladies how to treat men. Honor one another. We need to teach our children today how to respect authority. Oh, we need to teach them how to love God, be faithful to the church. All right, let's get into the message today. If you've got your handout, number one is this. We're going to use all R's today on the big ones. First of all, it's going to be a reminder from a father's heart. A reminder from a father's heart. In verse number 19, notice what the Bible says again. He says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way." There's an importance of guidance. If you have letter A in your notes, I don't know if everybody got one, but it's an importance of guidance. A father is to teach a child how to guide his heart. We need to teach our children how to have self-control today. It's not peaceful if you're burning down buildings and blowing up cars. It's not peaceful. It's not right. Those are somebody's business that have been destroyed in the last year in our world. And everybody says, well, they're just peaceful demonstrators. No, peaceful demonstrators were back in the day of Martin Luther King and people like that, where they simply marched on the street. They didn't burn anything down. They didn't destroy stuff. Now, there were some on the fringe of that. But nowadays, the fringe are the ones that are standing there wanting to be peaceful and all the rest. Listen, teach our children to get out of that. Because here's what the deal is. Some of those causes may be real, but once you associate with them, you go right down in the vile junk that they're a part of. Remember, if you hang out with that crowd, everybody's going to identify you with that. And there are better ways to make changes in our society than that. And all God's people said, I hate what's going on in my world today. One way this is done in our lives of teaching our children how to guide their hearts is we've got to establish some landmarks. What are some landmarks? The Bible's the Word of God. The Bible's the Word of God. You and I are going to stand before God one day and we're going to give an account of our lives. What we did do and what we didn't do with what we had. And it's important that we make sure that we teach our children, no matter how far they stray, they need to know this. This is a landmark they can always come back to. Most, and I know that we're wanting to tear them all down, but most of our historical monuments remind us that we never want that to happen again. They're just simply reminders. Nobody in their right mind wants to go back to slavery. But every time you see one of those Civil War monuments, it reminds you, you know what? That was one of the darkest times in our nation's history, and we don't ever want to go back there. Now, there are other things, you know, monument of man walking on the moon. That was pretty cool. Of course, my great-grandfather, he said, don't you believe that, boy. He said, there's a place out in Arizona where they filmed every bit of that. After listening to Fauci talk over the last year, I might lean more that way. But many years ago, the Duke of Windsor visited America, and upon returning home, he was asked, he said, what impressed you most? Now, let's tell you how long ago this was. He said, the way the parents obey the children. Are we seeing that today? Parents following along behind their children? What's happened? We haven't taught them guidance. There are some events or things that we just need to learn to say no to. Notice in verse number 20, he says this, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. He says there's an importance of guidance, of being guided, but there's also an importance of what we'll call guardedness. I don't even know if that's a word, but I needed a G word. Guardedness. Guardedness. Riotous. Those that are without control. Mom and Dad, who are your children's friends? You know, your children's friends influence them. I remember as a young boy, I'd walk into the house and I'd start talking to my mom, and she said, you've been hanging out with Sam today. Sam had a really slow southern drawl. And whenever I would hang around with Sam, I would get a really slow southern drawl. And my mom said, I don't know if I like you hanging around with Sam. I said, but I like Sam. I like hanging out with him. Sam was an older man, and he worked the cattle on our property. And I liked hanging out with Sam because Sam liked to burn things. Oh, yeah. Dads, parents, if there's no dad in the home, dads should choose and approve their children's friends. You say, well, it's old-fashioned. Tom Farrell said, so is air and water, but we still need them. Choose who your children's friends are. You know why? Because they influence you. Had a rule in my home when I was growing up, if you've got a C, you've got to whip it. That was it. You know what I didn't bring home very often? C. One time my friend John Toller decided that he's going to spend the night with me. It just so happened to be report card time. Well, report cards came out. Guess who had a C? My dad looked at it and he said, well, boy, you know what the deal is. I said, yes, sir. John kind of laughed. My dad said, let me see your report card. You know, John never spent the night at my house with report card time again. He grew up to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. That's how warped he really is, all right? There's an importance to guardedness. We need to teach our children to guard their heart. The Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. It's not just now who we hang out with in society, it's who we hang out with online. Every parent, and if their parents are not willing to do it, grandparents need to do it. Somebody needs to be monitoring our children and our grandchildren online. The perverts are there. They want to get their hooks into them and draw them in. They're there. Every disgusting thing in the whole world is there. We need to guard against that. By the way, as dads, we need to guard against that. Amen? I was looking for Brother Dave Fetter. He was our missionary that was with us last week. And somewhere in this last year of COVID, his emails got hung up in my spam folder on my email system. Well, we have an email system that's underneath the church website, and it filters out a whole lot. I don't recall the last time, apparently I've not looked at it in a year or more, the spam filter. But as I opened up my spam filter for the last year, I had, I want to say, 17,356 emails in there. I cannot even begin to describe to you some of the filth of some of the titles. I started scrolling through that, and I finally texted Brother Fetter. I said, can you just send me a new one? I didn't even feel like, I just thought, I'm not even, and I just hit delete all. And the thing said, do you want to delete all? And I said, yes. And then it came back and said, are you sure you want to delete all? Yes, absolutely. But I was reminded once again of how important it is that we guard our minds and our hearts. Importance of godliness. He's telling this child here, look at it in verse number 19 and 20 again. He says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh." He's challenging him to be godly. He's challenging him to have moral purity. Look at it in verse number 27. He says, "For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit." Now, I'm going to tell you, those are harsh words in our day and time. Those are words that we just don't normally use, but Solomon is trying to get across to his son, "Son, you be careful. A strange woman is not one that is weird or odd. A strange woman is anyone that's not your spouse. You ought not to be familiar with other men or with other women, men. Husbands ought not to be familiar with ladies that are not their wives and all God's men said." That's where affairs start right there. Be very careful. And the opposite is also true. You say, "Well, what should I do? Run. Run. You say, "I shouldn't be..." No, stay away from them. Do like whenever they were little boys, whenever you were 7 or 8, cooties. Stay away. Just run. But Solomon says, "A whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men." You know what he's challenging his son? He says, "Sons, be morally pure. Be morally pure." We need some young ladies today that are morally pure. We need some young men today that are morally pure. And all God's people said, but we'll never get that until the parents and the grandparents are morally pure. Whenever we laugh at some of the stuff that we laugh at on television and some of the things that we see on the internet, God help us. He says, "You be morally pure," but then also what he tells his son in verse number 29, he says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes?" He has 6 questions. And then he takes the next several verses and the answer. You know what he's saying? Abstain from alcohol. Stay away from alcohol. That's an old-fashioned command, really. It's old-fashioned saying, listen, you need to stay away from it, because I know we live in a society today that almost everybody is for drinking a little bit of alcohol. You know what drinking a little bit of alcohol always turns into? Drinking a whole lot of alcohol. Do you know that alcohol is the third leading preventable cause of death in America today? Do you know that alcohol is one of the largest contributors to domestic violence today? It's the number one cause why families are breaking up still today. It's not talked about very much. We pass all the laws against drugs. We pass all the laws against all the other things. And the reason why is because most of our politicians are drunkards. And they don't want to inflict it on their own selves. I'm telling you, young people, if you want to live a good, godly life, you want to live a productive life, stay away from alcohol. Just stay completely away from it. Just abstain from it. Rush Limbaugh used to say, abstinence still works when it's practiced. Moral purity, abstinence from alcohol. To our forefathers, faith was an experience. To our fathers, faith was an inheritance. To us, faith may become a convenience. And then to our children, faith will become a nuisance. May we go back to faith being an experience for us. Amen. May it be something that's real in our lives. May we live those things out. Look at it with me in verse number 26. He says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." You know what he says? He says, "Trust me with your heart, and watch how I love God." I take hope and comfort in this truth. This is Solomon writing this. How many of you would say with me, Solomon probably wasn't the perfect dad? How many of you say that? You know what? Then we can identify with Solomon, can't we? But that doesn't change what he says. He says, listen, son, give me your heart. Son, observe my ways. Watch me as I serve God. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all vying for the heart of our children and young people, and it's up to dads to maintain that relationship to keep the child's heart. By the way, dads, if you have your daughter's heart, she won't give it away to some knothead that comes along. Maintain that. Some of you maybe not have a dad in the home. That's right. Single moms, you keep the daughter's heart or the son's heart so that they're careful not to give it away before they ought to. So, well, what about dating? Easy enough. Not till they're 30. And up till that point, you always go with them. I'm telling you, a lot of trouble. How many of you, never mind, not even going to say it. Years ago, I was the senior class sponsor. I was not a good senior class sponsor, by the way. Senior class would be there, and we'd sneak off campus, and we would borrow one of the little buses. And we had about 30 kids in our senior classes in Christian school. And so what we would do is we'd put the bus in neutral and we'd push it off the parking lot and down the hill. And then we'd stop and get in it and we'd go to McDonald's and eat. And then we would sneak it back on the campus. But I was a senior class sponsor. We had great times. And by the way, we were the world champion sellers of World's Finest Chocolate. We sold over $37,000 worth of candy bars one year. You say, how'd you do that? Well, we had to sneak off campus a couple times. But we ran it like a business. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. We had money pouring in everywhere. We went on a senior trip, and everybody got to go for free. And everybody got like $500 in spending money. It was awesome. But we went to the wilds in North Carolina to camp. Great spiritual week. And I'm telling you, those 26 or 27 kids really needed it because a lot of them were unsaved. Even though we were in a Christian school, they were wicked and all of that. We did our best to just put the Word of God into their lives. And I loved those kids with all of my heart. And it was a great time. But we went to the wilds and we had a preaching week and several of them got their lives straightened out. And they're still my Facebook friends today. And I'm still watching their lives from afar. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to see young people grow up and serve God. But we went to the wilds. One of the parts of going to the wilds, we would go, they had 6 weeks of senior weeks, and it was in April and May of the year, and so the rivers were kind of running pretty fast because of the snow and all that. One of the great things to do was go whitewater rafting. So we would go whitewater rafting, and before we went whitewater rafting, they'd take the boat, they'd set it on the shore, and we'd all get in the boat. And I was thinking, this isn't too bright. Really? I'm from Florida. Boat's supposed to be in the water. I thought everybody knew that. Maybe in North Carolina it's different. But what happened is the guide sat in the back of the boat. And he said, now I'm going to teach you guys how we're going to make it out of this alive together. And I thought, really? Can it be that tough? I'm going to tell you something. It's pretty tough. There were at least three times that we could have died if we wouldn't listen to the guide. The guide said, okay, take your paddles. And whenever I tell you to paddle, here's what I want you to do. Are you ready? Paddle. Pretty simple command. Sometimes he'd say, right side, paddle. That was a struggle with some of those kids because some of them didn't know left from right. But we taught it to them. But we went on that water. I made at least three trips, three different years, and I made it down there. And each time I would tell the young people, listen to the guide. Here's the reason why. He's been this way before. Young people, younger people, listen to the older generation. They've been there before. You know what that guide knew? He knew where the rocks were. He knew where the rapids were. Most importantly, he knew where the falls were at. And we stopped way short of that. Solomon says, son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, he says, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul says, I've taught them to you. I've demonstrated them to you. Now you do it. Number three today. Whenever all this happens, there's a rejoicing from a father's heart. There's a rejoicing. Verse number 25. He says, thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. Verse number 24 says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. I've watched my children grow. You guys have watched my children grow. We've been here 17 years, so they've grown up here in this place. Many of you here have had great influence on my children's lives, and I cannot tell you how thankful I am that so many of you took a part in helping my children to become who they are today. And I want you to know that I love you and I'm thankful for it. There's a rejoicing whenever you know that your children are serving the Lord. There's a heartbreak whenever you know that they're not. Most of you know our story, what's going on in our life. Our son AJ, he strayed away from God. He's decided he wanted to go another direction. Tina and I have never known heartache before until now, like this. But we don't give up praying. We still rejoice in what God's doing in the others' lives. I pray for AJ. I love AJ. I still try to reach out to him. But one of the things we cannot do is we cannot let that one that goes like that to cause us to forget about the others that are still serving God. All God's people said. Because if we're not careful, what will happen is that will eat us alive. And I'm telling you, I know this. Because it has for the last year. A little boy stood in front of his dad one day with a baseball glove and a baseball. He looked at his dad, and his dad's sitting there reading the news on his phone. And finally the dad looked up and the little boy said, Dad, play with me or trade me. Amen. Don't get so caught up in something that's got our attention that we miss out on what God's doing around us. Father, look at it again. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. There may be a dad here who today, you say, I'm doing the best that I can, I'm faithful, yet things just still aren't turning out like I should, or like I think they should. You say, what do I do, preacher? Don't give up. Don't give up. This thing's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Not only will the father rejoice, but the mother shall be glad. Verse number 25, it says, thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. I talked to my dad this morning on the phone. By the way, they say years ago, 30 years ago, that you could tell the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Mother's Day was the single biggest calling day in America. They say Father's Day, more collect calls were made than any other day. Nowadays, on Father's Day, there are more texts and emails sent than there are on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is still a big calling day, but Father's Day is like, Happy Father's Day. That's because of the dad jokes, maybe, I don't know. But moms will be glad when they'll rejoice when their children serve God. I talked to my dad today. My dad and I have not always had a great relationship. I can't remember how old I was before my dad told me he loved me. It was probably well after I was married. I talked to my dad today and I was teasing him. And he told me, he said, I miss you. He said, I'm so proud of you. He said, I don't always say it, but I want you to know I love you. Can your children say, as they look at you, that's the kind of Christian I want to be when I grow up? These young men sang about it today. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. How about it, dads? Are you the kind of Christian that your children can imitate? How about mom? You say, well, it's not. Well, make it right. Because here's what they're going to do. They're going to focus on those bad things. I want to be able to say that my grandchildren, I've already said it to my children, but I want to say it to my grandchildren. I want to live the kind of life where I can say, Colby, I want you to be the kind of Christian that I am. If I can't say that to them, then I'm not where I ought to be with God. As a mom or a grandmother, if you can't say to your child, I want you to be the kind of Christian that I am, then you're not where you ought to be. And that's got to change. Because they're going to follow in your footsteps. And I know sometimes we laugh about it, we joke about it, but the truth of the matter is, we're leading them somewhere. And it's our role, our responsibility, to lead them to love God. Master, what is the great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Am I the kind of dad that'll make a difference in my children and grandchildren's life? Am I the kind of mom? If not, let's make those changes today. Don't wait. Don't say, well, no. Let's quit using those excuses. I'm telling you, we have a world that's gone mad. It's time for us to have some godly fathers, godly grandfathers. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. Let me ask you a question this morning. Nobody's going